This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good to see you guys. Good to have a full house this morning and getting there. It's great to see you guys. If you have your message notes, take those out. If you have a Bible, John 15, have that ready too. And as we get started, as we get going today, just a quick note. I wanted to thank you guys. I had last week off. And it's great to be at a church where we have really gifted and talented people that can step in so many different ways. And to bring the message, Brandon did an awesome job last week. And just so appreciative of him and everybody that contributes so many different ways behind the scenes. And it's really a blessing to be at a church like this. I learned a lot under his teaching last week, and I hope you guys did too. As you came in, I hope that you're thinking about Jesus. I hope your thoughts are moving that way. I hope that you're connecting him in new and wonderful ways. The last 2 weeks have been incredible in my life, the life of the church and our nonprofit Bridging the Gap, because our Inspiring Hope Learning Center kicked off. It's running. This year we're going full bore, full year. We have at least 11 just incredible kids. There's some high school kids that are also part of it who are kind of, we're giving help to. And it's just, can I just tell you, it's life-giving. How about that? To be there and see these kids grow, to hear them laugh and to enjoy each other's company. We're pouring into them. They're learning scripture. They are getting help with their homework. They're going outside and playing. They're chalking up our parking lot. You probably saw when you came in today. I mean, it's so much fun. They learned John 3:16 this week, and it was so much fun to hear them say that. And then one of the parents contacted us, go, how did you get our son to memorize scripture? It's like, well, or memorize anything. And it's like, well, we just do it every day. We make it fun and we repeat it, and it's great. And they go, wow, that's amazing what you're doing with our little boy. And so it's fun to see God at work that week in that way. And just to kind of let you know, the Inspiring Hope Learning Center takes its name from Jeremiah 29:11. It's the first verse that we learned this year. And we want to just, I just want to show this to you. Jeremiah 29:11. This is what we had them memorizing first. It's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Isn't it a beautiful verse? And just the understanding that it was given to Israel as they were in exile, and God said, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you, and I want you to know that there is a future and a hope, that I want you to know that I'm working and that things are going the right direction, and that you do have a hope every day that you wake up. There is a plan, that God does have a purpose for you, and we want the kids of the Learning Center to understand that God created them for a purpose, and he's moving in a direction, and they're part of it. Now, one of the things that we deal with in the verse is the word prosper. Try to explain the word prosper to an elementary school kid, a first grader. You go, what does that mean? They all look at you. I don't know. What does it mean to prosper? And in our culture, you're thinking prosper means money, right? That's what we hear so much. It means to have a lot of money, a lot of stuff. And we're trying to tell them that's not what the word prosper really means. The word prosper is this word that you have everything you need and a little bit more. It may be finances, it may be relationships, it may be something on the inside. It means a bunch of stuff. The closest word in Hebrew is the word shalom. You have exactly what God has for you, the wholeness of life. I think in English, maybe the closest word is to flourish. It's to flourish, to really flourish on the inside and outside, to have a life that flourishes. If you're not familiar with that word, here's a good definition from Martin Seligman, a professor at University of Pennsylvania. He said this: to flourish is to find fulfillment in our lives, accomplishing meaningful and worthwhile tasks, and connecting with others at a deeper level, in essence, the good life. And I love that definition. And today I want you to think about that in your own life. Where are you with flourishing? Are you finding fulfillment in your life? I mean, do you wake up fulfilled? Do you wake up every day going, I'm going to accomplish something meaningful today, and I have something worthwhile to do? I'm not just going through the motions. I don't just live and I get through the day. Are you connecting with people in a deeper way? And I love that about the Learning Center. We're connecting with these kids. They write in their journals things. They share prayer requests. We got little girl who's just an incredible prayer. She like blew us away when she got to pray. It's like, wow, this child gets it. She's flourishing in so many different ways. And it's fun to see that just kind of blossom. As part of this kind of like flourishing idea, Dr. Seligman and some others came up with this idea of PERMA. It's an acrostic, and you kind of evaluate your life based on this. Flourishing people have positive emotions. like love and joy and peace, those kinds of things in your life. You are really focusing on the positive aspects of the life that God has given you, and so you experience those emotions. You're engaged, your engagement, you're experiencing that as well in life. You're not disconnected from the world, but you're connected. You're connected to other people. You're engaged in daily activities. You're seeing things happen because of it. Relationships are important. I read the other day that in the United States, most adult men do not have a friend. There's no one they have that they can call in the middle of the night when they're running into problems or just someone to sit down and talk to. It's a real kind of epidemic in our country right now. And so, do you have good relationships with your family, with your friends? Meaning is the next word. You wake up in the day, my life has meaning, has purpose. God has me here for a reason. I know what that is. It's important. And then accomplishments as well, that you look at the end of the day, I was able to see something happen in my life. Or the end of the month, I accomplished something. I didn't just exist. So this is a way of looking at flourishing and teaching our kids this. And are you flourishing? Do you see that? Now, something to know, too, about the word prosper and flourishing is this. It's not a perfect life or a life of ease. All right, let's make sure we understand that. That's heaven. All right, heaven is where we're going to exist, where it's perfect and a life of ease. We want that, don't we? We all want it now, but it's not for this world. You're going to have problems. Is that okay to say that? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have problems? Can you do that real quick? Don't say you're a problem. That's different, okay? Don't say that, but you're going to have problems, okay? Totally different thing than you're a problem in my life. But you're going to have challenges in life, right? You're going to deal with stuff. You're going to have issues you're going to have to come across. You're going to have hardships. When the Israelites were moving from slavery to the promised land, remember that? Remember the metaphor that God gave them? It's going to be a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Now think about that. They were probably disappointed when they got there and go, where's the milk, where's the honey, right? It's not here, and that's kind of a strange thing to think of that flowing like a river. But it's a metaphor. What does it mean? You're going to flourish there. You're going to exist there in a good way. It's going to be a good life. But you're still going to have challenges. There's giants in the land. You're going to have to take the land. You're going to have to conquer the land. You're not just going to sit back and kick back. You're going to have to work for it, step by step, moment by moment. So you're going to find challenges in there, but in the midst of your challenges, you're going to flourish. Remember when the spies came out of the land and they said it's a really cool land? Remember how they showed that it was going to flourish? They brought something out with them, a pole between two men. And on that pole was this cluster of grapes that was so heavy it took two of them to carry it. And they go, this is the symbol of this promised land. It's flourishing. It's going to be good. It's going to take some work, but it's going to be a great place to be. That became the symbol of Israel, the vine, the branches, the grapes, the flourishing. And this is what God had for them. Today, as you came in, and it's online as well, I hope you got this, there's a flourishing survey. You can take that out right now and kind of look at it. This is from Harvard University. We're going to fill it out now. Basically, the idea is this. We're going to reflect on our life. And online, it's in our Facebook comments. You can pull that up now. And here are 12 questions that you're going to grade yourself from 0 to 12. If you're sharing that with someone, don't grade it for them. You do your own, okay? So here's some questions to think about. Number one, overall, how satisfied are you with life as a whole these days? What's the first number that comes to mind from 0 to 10? Write that down. How satisfied are you with your life at this moment? Even if you're facing challenges, how satisfied are you? Number two, in general, how happy or unhappy do you usually feel? Are you experiencing those positive emotions? Again, you may face difficulties, but you can still be happy. 0 to 10. Number three, in general, how would you rate your physical health? Because that affects your spiritual health or your emotional health, doesn't it? 0 to 10, where are you now? Someone asked me before, can you put a negative number? No, you can't. 0 is the bottom, okay? 0 is the bottom. Can't go any further down than that. Number four, a big issue right now for a lot of people. How would you rate your overall mental health? We have a small group just focusing on that this year. Just focusing on mental health because it affects everything, doesn't it? You're dealing with depression, despair, darkness in your life. Where are you with that? 0 to 10. Number five, overall, to what extent do you feel the things you do in life are worthwhile? You're actually contributing to life at your job, at your home, in a relationship. Somewhere you're leaving something behind. It's worthwhile. You feel important because God has you here for a reason. 0 to 10. Number six, I understand my purpose in life. God created me for a reason. I know what that is. I try to live it every day. I'm a parent. I'm a wife. I'm a husband. I'm a follower of Jesus. I impact people around me. I'm a teacher. Whatever. I understand my purpose, 0 to 10. Number seven, I always act to promote good in all circumstances, even in difficult and challenging solutions. God works all things for good according to his perfect plan, right? For those who love him. Do you see that? Are you trying to go for good? Are you the one that's pulling other people with you in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood? You go, guys, there's something good going to happen here. I believe it. 0 to 10. Number eight, I am always able to give up some happiness now for greater happiness later. That's a sign of maturity. I know I don't have to be happy at this moment. I can discipline myself because I know something good is happening. I know I'm going to face trouble here, but in heaven it's going to be great. I'm able to delay gratification, 0 to 10. Number nine, I'm content with my friendships and relationships. I'm good. I'm good with those. Doesn't mean there's not room for improvement, but you're good, 0 to 10. Number 10, my relationships are as satisfying as I would want them to be. I like that. It's qualified, isn't it? 0 to 10, where are you with your relationships overall? Number 11, how often do you worry about being able to meet normal monthly living expenses? It doesn't say you're able to or not able to. The question is, do you worry about it? You can have a lot of money and worry every single day because you're afraid it's going to go away, and then what's going to happen? You can have very, very little bit and never worry because you trust God fully. Where are you on the scale of worry? 0 to 10. And that leads to number 12, very similar. How often do you worry about safety, food, or housing? Notice it's flipped on this. I don't worry very much. That's a 10. I worry all the time. That's a 0 or 1. So you've gone through this and add them up. Think about it. You may want to take it again later today. Reflect on it. 80 and above. 80 and above is flourishing. But you always want to move forward, right? You always want to get a little bit better. You always want to grow a little bit more. If you're below 80, then you're going, okay, I have a lot of things I need God to do in my life. So where are you now? You don't have to share with me, but where are you now in this idea of flourishing? Jesus had a lot to say about that in the book of John. Sometimes we think about flourishing only in heaven. Jesus brought it down here on the earth in the kingdom of God. In John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, he talks about how the evil one just wants to destroy everything. But in John 10:10, he says this, I came that they, meaning you, may have life and have it abundantly, that you would flourish and I would flourish. Even in the midst of problems, we would be okay. It's like Teflon. You ever cook in Teflon and it's things don't stick to it, right? And you know you should have sprayed more Pam on something if it sticks. And the idea if you're a follower of Jesus is things don't stick when they're bad. You're able to get through. You're able to flourish. You're living abundant life. In John 15, this is where we are in our study of John. If you have your Bibles, turn there. He speaks a lot about flourishing. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11, really focusing on 1 through 10, then end with 11. If you have the journals, good time to take those out too. I'm going to be reading today from New Living Translation. It's a little different. Use it to compare what you're reading. Maybe it'll bring something out, make you think about it a little bit more. Jesus is sitting in the upper room with his followers, perhaps. I'm going to give you a different explanation of where he is in just a moment. But just know this is the last night he's spending with them, and this is for his followers. This is for the ones he's teaching. And he goes, I got something I want you to know about life here in this earth. And I'm just going to read it. 1 through 10, these are the words of Jesus. I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. For those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned in someone's yard, right? But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And kind of hold it there, because we'll get to verse 11 in just a second. Before we kind of break this down and review it, let's pray for a second. Father God, these are the words of Jesus, the words in red, the ones we want to have soak into our lives. We want to live them out. We want to understand what Jesus is saying, but also to live it fully and completely so that we may have the life that you desire for us. And I pray for anyone today that's maybe come in here and they've just taken a survey and they're going, I'm not flourishing, but I want to. Speak to them, Father, so they may flourish and know you and experience you in fullness. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you got the basic thing going on here. Jesus is using an extended metaphor, right? He says, I want to talk to you about something, and I'm going to use a metaphor, he says. And he first off goes, let me tell you who I am. I'm the true vine. Now, what does he mean by that? Israel was to be a vine, okay? That's going back to old promised land theology, right? You're going to be the vine, and Israel wasn't a very good vine. He says, but I'm the true vine. And what is the vine? The vine, if you ever go to a vineyard, and most of you guys probably have driven by one in our area, you've been to one, right? You see all the rows of all the grape vines. You know, the vine is what comes out of the ground and the roots go down. It's the source. It pulls the nutrients from the soil and gives it out to the branches. This is what the vine does. Jesus says, I'm the vine. So you understand that. This is where life comes through. It's through me. And then he says, my Father is the gardener. My Father is the one that prunes. And this is such an interesting idea, isn't it? You ever seen somebody prune something? You know what I'm talking about? It's they cut off a part that's not producing. So if you have a branch that kind of goes crazy, and I have a bush in our yard that sends out like three tendrils, and it's like going crazy, and everything else is shaped, but these three are crazy, you got to cut them back because all the energy is going in the wrong thing. So you cut them back so the energy goes to the right thing where it's producing fruit. What happens in our life is that when we spend our time doing things that aren't fruitful and they're bringing us in the wrong direction, they're producing in us not life, the Father comes along and says, we're going to cut that out. Maybe a relationship, an activity, a hobby, or something that you go, I need to do this, but then it's not producing fruit. And God says, let's get rid of that. You don't need it. That's the Father's job, is to prune and to show you. And then he says, I want you to know something. You guys right here, if you're followers of Jesus, you're the branches. Now, you don't produce the fruit. The fruit is produced on you because the fruit comes out of the vine. That's where the nutrients come through. It just flows through the branch. You're the branches, and we're going to see fruit on you. And when you see fruit, that's evidence. The fruit is evidence that you are connected to me. You're still attached. So that's what we are. We're the branches. And then he says, look, the reason for the fruit is to give evidence that God's at work so people can see that, so he gets the glory, not us. So when people see the fruit of God's activity in their life, they're going, you must know Jesus, because no one could be like you on their own. God gets the glory. And then the main idea of this is fruitfulness. You pick that up, right? The idea is fruitfulness. You look at your life, and he says some things about it. He says, look, when you are bearing fruit, you're going to pray. You're going to pray in my name. You're going to pray in my way. And you're going to see things happen. You're going to see God's activity in your life. That's flourishing. That's fruitfulness. You're going to be changed on the inside. And because of that, you're going to have the outside change too. There's going to be internal evidence and external evidence. And you're going to flourish. You're going to have the abundant life. You're going to see God at work. Now, fruitfulness does mean in the scripture that you're going to see people come to Christ through you, because God is on a mission through Christ through you to bring people to him. And so you're going to see that. That's one type of fruit. We're going to talk about other types of fruit today. But we should be seeing God at work in us and people going, I want to know this Jesus. And we see them come to Jesus. That's fruitfulness. But also it's what God does inside and what God is doing outside through us. And he talks about four kinds of fruit. And we have this up here today, and he kind of used this as an example, is what Jesus used. He said, here's four kinds of fruit. They're real simple. It's just a metaphor that Jesus uses. He first of all says, there's a position where you're not producing any fruit. It's just empty. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We think we're doing great things, but it's really last. You're just one of 7 billion people going about life. He said, there is a possibility that you're producing no fruit. There is no flourishing happening in that particular life, at that particular moment, in that particular season. That is a possibility. And then he says, look, there's another possibility, fruit. Just fruit. This is good, right? I like grapes. This is kind of fun. We already thought about how we're going to eat these later. We have to get through second service, though. But fruit is good. And you say, well, okay, that's good. People see my activity in your life. But he said there's also a possibility of more fruit. More fruit is good, right? We'd rather have more than less. This is where we start to see the abundant life. And then this last one, much fruit. People go, I see Jesus in your life. You're getting answers to prayer. I don't know how you do that. How are you doing that? Why is God at work in you? I want to know. And so we're always going, okay, we don't want to be here. This is good. This is better. This is where we want to be. This is what he said about true disciples. They produce much fruit. Whether it's converts or internal growth and change or external, we see God's activity in your life. And again, it doesn't mean you're not going through problems. But maybe perhaps in the problems, they see more fruit than any other time. They're going, how do you do it when you're going through really difficult things? You're still producing fruit. What happens? And you go, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Sometimes the hardest times produces the greatest harvest, right? So this is kind of another metaphor for us to kind of look at our life and go, are we flourishing? Where are we on this scale that Jesus just talked to his disciples about? And how can we move from one to the next? And Jesus wants to talk about that too. On your outline, he's going to talk about three things. And he says, this is how you flourish. This is how you as followers of Jesus will flourish. If you're still on the fence about Jesus, he's not talking to you yet. He wants you to know this is what's possible for you when you have life in me. So on your outline, three things to experience the flourishing life. Number one, flourishing is found in doing life in Christ. It's really obvious what he's saying. It's doing life in Christ. It's remaining in Christ. It's living in Christ. In verse 4, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Other Bibles will say the word abide or live. It's one of my favorite Greek words. It's the word meno. And meno is this word, it's used 10 times in these 11 verses. Jesus is like hammering this home. Get this word right. Remain means to stay attached, to connect to. Some people say, if you ask them where they live, they'll go, I stay at. You ever heard this? And some people use that, I stay over here. That means that's where they live. I live there. It's my abode. That's where you see that old King James language, right? I abide there. It's where I live. I live in Jesus. My life is connected to Jesus. When I'm disconnected from Jesus, there's no flourishing. I may do things. I may do good things, but at the end of the day, it's just empty. It doesn't last. It's not abiding. Last week was interesting for me. I usually am here from early to late, right? Last week I had to leave after first service and go home and take care of some things, and I'd not done that in a long time. And I go, if this is all I had, I would be in a hurt this week. If all I had was 1 hour with Jesus, I would be in trouble by Sunday afternoon. I'd be in trouble by Monday, right? If that's all I had, it's good. It got me fired up, and it gave me some nourishment and some incredible teaching, and it was really, really good. But if that's all I had, I would get hungry and thirsty by the next day. See, Jesus wants us to be connected 24/7. If it's like if you took the branch and attached it for an hour and disconnected, it's not going to last, right? So it's like our prayer life. If we pray, that's great. If you pray in the morning, that's awesome. If you pray before a meal, that's awesome. Great stuff. If you want to be connected to Jesus, you're talking to him throughout the day. I'm walking to a meeting, Jesus, I need you now. I just got a phone call. I don't know how to handle it. I need you now. God, what you just did is beautiful. I love you. Connected to Jesus 24/7. I'm thinking about Jesus all the time is what connected to Jesus is all about. How would he want me to act in the situation? My wife just said something to me. I don't know what to do with it. So, Jesus, I need your help. What would you do in my situation? That's being connected to Jesus. Love to worship. I can worship Jesus without Sunday morning, can't I? Sunday morning is great to worship. Can I do that during the week? Sure, I can. If I get up early enough to see a sunrise, I can praise Jesus for that. I can praise Jesus because I could eat today and I have the resources I need. I can connect Jesus as in a small group of other believers, whether it's a new version or one of the church or my friends that were reading the scriptures together. I can connect with Jesus by reading the word, by memorizing it, by taking John 3:16 and putting it in my heart and reciting it and living it and living there. That's what it means to live in Jesus, doing life connected to Christ. Paul took this idea and he goes, let's talk about this a little bit more. What does it mean to actually bear fruit? And if you've been around church for a while, if you know the word of God, you'll know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Take it in context of this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul's writing goes, look, if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit in you. And if the Spirit's in you, you're going to produce fruit. And this kind of fruit's internal fruit. You're going to have love. The love of Jesus is going to live in you, and you're going to love people without prejudice, without criticism, the way Jesus did. You're going to be changed by his love. It's going to be produced in your life. You're going to have joy, whether you're dealing with conflict or not, because you know God's there and you're good, and he's producing this amazing fruit in you. You're going to have peace, and you're not going to worry because you trust him. He's in your life, and the Spirit's producing this, and especially when it's hard. You can tell when God's producing fruit in your life because you're going, I don't know why I'm not worried. Well, God's producing this peace in you. How about patience? We dealt with this in a few months. In our staff meeting every week, it was like, I need to pray for patience. I need to pray for patience. And if you've ever done that before, you know what I'm talking about. It's when God's timing doesn't match your timing. You ever been there? When your timing doesn't meet God's timing and you go, I need it yesterday, and God says, it's not time yet, and you're going, okay, God, and he produces this patience. I'm willing to wait for God because his plan is perfect, and if the timing is wrong, I don't want it, right? So God produces patience. Kindness begins to move outward. This one's not internal as much. When you have the fruit of kindness in your life, Jesus is working through his Spirit to produce in you this way of looking at the world. I'm kind to the people around me. I'm kind to the people online. I'm kind in my emails. I'm kind on my phone calls. I'm kind as I deal with my coworkers. When God's producing that fruit in you, you go, I don't even like these people, and I'm being kind to them. That's got to be God. That's a miracle right there, right? Kindness. Goodness speaks to our hearts and our attitudes. God is so good. When the Holy Spirit's work in your life produce goodness, you don't think poorly about others or things. You think good, and you do good, and you live good, and you don't like evil, and you don't like darkness, and you don't want to go back there, because when you're in the darkness, that's here. That's in the fruitlessness world. Faithfulness, you're faithful to people, you're loyal to them, you show up, you do, and you're always there, and you're there for God as much as people. Gentleness shows up in your family, the way you speak to people, the way you act to them. You're gentle. You understand people are fragile. They need to be treated with care, and you want to encourage them. And then there's self-control, right? You're able to say no now so you can get something better later. Again, it's a sign of maturity. Right off the survey that we just looked at. Self-control means I don't have to give in. I can do what God wants me to do. It's a great thing to ask for if you're dealing with addictions or bad habits, or if you keep going to a certain place in your mind that you can't get out of, going, God, produce in me self-control as I'm connected to Jesus. This is the intended life that he has for us. Those internal qualities, because they lead to external actions. And it's great to look at that list as a kind of a survey and go, okay, God, where am I? And what do you want to do in my life produce more fruit? So number one, to experience flourishing, is it's got to happen in Christ. He says, remain in me, stay connected to me. Number two, flourishing is found in doing life in his love. He states that, doing life in his love. In verse 9, he says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Then he says, remain in my love, live in my love, mano in my love. You ever think about that? Love is this place that we can go and flourish. Children need to be loved to flourish. Human beings need to be loved to be flourished. Because then they go, hey, if I'm loved, I'll try things. Because I know I have a safety net. People love me. I will do things for people because I have a safety net that I'm being loved. It's the soil that produces the most fruit. My neighbor across the street is a master gardener. There's some good things about that and some bad things about that. The good thing is I get to see her house. The bad thing is she has to look at my house, okay? I get to see all that she's producing, and she is so kind, and she will bring me plants. It's like, don't bring me a plant. It will die. And she knows that I love Japanese maples, so she's brought me four. Three of them I planted, and they're not going to make it. It's like, it was a death thing. They go, don't bring us over here. And I go, I'm going to try. I watered them. I dug everything. I did everything I knew of. I kept one in the plant in the pot. Because I know if I left it in that soil, it would live. And it's living. It's like so cool. It's like, this is the spot. You got to be in the right soil to live. To be in Jesus is where we flourish, in his love, where you're fully loved. You cannot do a single thing to make Jesus love you more. Stop trying. You can't do a single thing to make him love you less. Stop trying. Be content. He loves you fully and completely. You ever want to know how much he died for you? There's no greater love that anyone has ever had than to lay down his life for his friends. He screams that from the cross. I love you. That's his biggest, broadest, boldest statement to you. I love you. You can't make me stop. What a powerful thing. We can flourish in that, can't we? I'm good because I'm loved. And every child, every human being needs to be loved. Are you feeling that love of God? When I grew up, I grew up in a family, very loving family. I was one of four siblings. I'm going to tell you my sad story. I was the third in the middle and the middle boy, okay? What happens to middle kids? Any middle kids in here? We're going to have a support group. What happens to middle kids? Completely forgotten, right? The older one's the hero. The younger one's the baby. They get all the attention. The middle one's like, did we even pick you up? They leave us at stores is what happens, right? You get, oh, my family left. They forgot me. And I had a loving family, okay? But the middle children, we understand. So what did I do as a middle child? I went to my grandparents' house. My grandparents loved me unconditionally. Now, I had to work when I went down there. I mowed the grass. I washed and waxed the car. I went up on the roof of a little building to patch holes. I did all things for my grandfather. I went fishing with him, though. And we would go places together. My grandmother, whatever I wanted to eat was what I was going to get. I mean, she was an awesome cook. She'd go, what do you want? I would tell her. I'd tell her in advance. I'd look forward to it, right? But I loved being at that house because I was completely loved and accepted. I didn't have to do anything to be loved. We would sit on our front porch in downtown Morehead City and watch the cars. That's how exciting my hometown was, right? I didn't mind at all, even as a kid, because I was okay. You are okay because you are in Christ's love. You got to live there. You got to stay there. Don't go wandering off. That's where you flourish, in the love of Christ. Next thing, if you are loved, and you are loved, he says, flourishing is found in doing life in obedience to his instructions. The words of Jesus, flourishing is found in doing life in obedience to his instructions. He said in verse 10, when you obey my commandments, my instructions, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. He said, that's where I flourish. I flourish when I'm doing what my Father's asked me to do. That's where you'll flourish too. I go, how's that possible? Rules are made to be broken, right? That's where many of us think. It's a rule, I'm going to break it. But that's not where you're going to find love. You're not going to find love outside of it. The rules are there to protect us. Just think if we didn't have any rules on the road. And in many places, it seems like there aren't rules on the road, right? But there's rule on the road to protect us. God's instructions, the commandments are there so we can flourish. This is where you'll flourish. In the Garden of Eden, he goes, this is where you're flourishing. Don't do the one thing. And what was the one thing they wanted to do? It was the one thing that caused them to be driven out of the place of flourishing. Jesus says, if you stay within here, you will flourish. I have a dog. We have a dog named Jack. We do Jack stories a lot of times. Jack is now 15. He's kind of blind. He doesn't hear very well. He loves to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and help me grow in patience and love and those kinds of things. He's like God's tool to make me into a different person. But Jack, when we got him, he had run away from whoever his owner was. Nobody knows. He had wandered around to a place. He ended up at a vet. Nobody wanted him. So we came to the picture, and he totally ignored us, didn't care about us at all, but we took him home. I don't know why. Sometimes you make bad decisions in the moment. Don't go look at a dog is all I'm going to tell you. We brought Jack home. He's run away probably 20, 30, 40 times in his life, and he came home. When he would come home, he would come up beat up, sometimes bloody, dirty. He couldn't explain where he had been or what he had done and how much trouble he got into. All he could do was whimper and say, I want to come home, until the next time he wanted to run away, and this is his life. But in the house, he was safe, and now he doesn't run away anymore. He stays with us. He kind of knows what we trap him to. But he knows in his house he is safe. Last Sunday, I took him to the dog park over at Ethan and Allie. Ethan and our son and Allie, his wife, we took him over to their apartment. They have a dog park. And he had not been there, and he's scared now. He's scared of a lot of things, and he can't see. So I let him in the dog park, so that immediately, you know what he does? He sniffs the corners. He wants to know where the boundaries are. He found the boundaries. The whole time he's shaking a little bit because he's nervous, he's scared. And then he finally found some sun, and he laid down in the sun, and he was content. And I don't mean to compare us to dogs, like Jack the dog, okay? But I just want you to think for a moment that God has a place for us where it's safe. It's inside his instructions. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two greatest. Keep those. And you're going to be in a place of flourishing. Can you do those two things? And everything else I taught you, you're going to flourish. And that's what God wants for us. That's where you find flourishing, is there inside his instructions. And then as Jesus wrapped this up, he says, look, you're going to flourish in me. You're going to flourish in my love. You're going to flourish as you keep my commandments. And then verse 11, we'll wrap up with this. He told them why he told them all these things. Verse 11, I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. The last kind of test for us. Yes, your joy will overflow. On the flourishing sheet, maybe add number 13, I experienced joy in Christ. 0 to 10. Where are you on that? See, joy is not dependent on our circumstances. You may be going through a really tough time, and yet you know God's got you, and you experience joy because you see his handiwork in your life. Joy is a real test, isn't it? And in Christianity, unfortunately, joy has been stamped out a lot of places. Don't experience joy. You can't trust it. And Jesus is saying you don't have to be a stick in the mud. You can enjoy life in Christ. So the last question, are you experiencing joy? Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, or even in the midst of good circumstances, are you experiencing joy? Or would you like to, like me and a lot of other people, experience more joy? We're going to pray now. And when we pray, I'm going to pray over us all that we experience fruitfulness, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, including the fruit of joy. And then during communion, which happens in a few moments, we're going to have a group up here praying. If you want more of Jesus in your life, if you want to flourish more, if you want to see more of his work in your life, more of the Spirit, just come up. You don't tell us the whole circumstances. There'll be a group up here to pray with you and to pray for you. Or you can write it on a card there in front of you and put that in the offering boxes and just say, I want to experience more of joy in my life. That's what God wants for you. That's what Jesus has for you. It's what the flourishing life is all about. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word and the promises of Jesus. And I thank you for the words that can soak into us. May his word produce fruit in our life. May your Spirit produce fruit in our life. May we experience all that the Spirit has for us. May we see more people coming to Christ. May we see more of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. May we see more of the external activity of your Spirit in our life. Change our actions. But I pray that people will see Jesus in us and we will experience his joy. And I pray over anyone in the room today that's just going, I want more in my life. I want to see more flourishing. I want to see more joy, more peace. I want to see his activity. I want to see him answer my prayers as I pray in the way he asked me to. I just want more of Jesus. So we pray over that today, Father. Answer our prayer, not because we deserve it, because of your promises. Thank you for what you're doing here at the church and each person's life. We look back with gratitude of your greatness in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Each week we share communion. It's a great way to connect with Jesus. One more way, even in a few moments. In Romans 7:4, Paul takes this idea of connecting with Jesus, and he writes to the people of Rome. He says, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law, to the body of Christ." We die to ourselves because of the law. It teaches us to die. And there's a reason for that, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. We die to ourselves so we can belong to Jesus. We can be connected to Jesus in order that we may bear fruit for God. The juice you're about to drink is the fruit, right, of the grapevine. And the bread you're about to eat is the fruit of the wheat that comes up. It's the fruitfulness that we enjoy in communion. It represents the body and the blood of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're open to this. We're on two side tables over here today, so we have room for people to pray up front. I'll pray. Come on up when you're ready. Receive the fruitfulness that you have through Christ. Eat and drink in his name. Let's pray. Father, it's a great picture that you've created of this table that you call the Last Supper, communion, where you give us a chance to connect with you, to start over, to see your hand at work. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus that screams from the cross, "I love you," so that we could have that relationship with you. Our sins can be removed, so we have direct access to you and fruitfulness. Bless our time today, Father, this time of communion with you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come forward if you like prayer, if you just want to share in communion, it's off to the sides.